May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968.
reading together three portions in the Word of God. The first you'll find in the Exodus, the book of the Exodus, chapter 34. And we'll read the first 9 verses. The book of the Exodus, chapter 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee 2 tables of stone, like unto the first, and I'll write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed 2 tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the 2 tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and the will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the 3rd and to the 4th generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And now from the book of Psalms, we'll read Psalm number 9. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 9. Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure for ever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. And now turn into the Gospel according to John, and we'll read the 17th chapter. The Gospel according to John and the 17th chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May the Lord bless his word to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, as we have entered into thy house this evening, a company of poor sinners gathered together, but we plead that we might have some hope that we were gathered up before our birth, before we were even known or brought forth by men upon this earth, in that prayer of our dear high priest before he went to the cross. And we know, Lord, that that is an all-prevailing plea. And we know that that prayer cannot fail to be answered. for thou canst not turn away thy Son in righteousness. And thus, Lord, we plead, oh, could it be thy good pleasure this evening, that thou wouldst still be answering, hearing and answering his prayer. Oh, Lord, though he now rests from his labours, we plead that his works, as it were, might follow him. Oh, we see, could it be thy good pleasure this evening, that he might be even making intercession for us. For we know, Lord, that if we are found approaching unto the outside of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. But we plead that our hope, our rejoicing as we've gathered together this evening, might be in this, that we have a high priest that is above, who continueth ever, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. And because of that fact, he is able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto thee through him. And as we are found gathered in thy house this evening, though we may feel, O Lord, to be as it were uttermost sinners, we have to confess, Lord, left to ourselves, we fear, we follow thee but afar off. So many things, O Lord, as it were, come into our lives and into our pathway, and Satan tries so hard to separate us from thee, and would make anything the centre of our religion except for thee. But, O Lord, we plead, could it be thy good pleasure this evening, that thou wouldst grant us our drawing influence, that we may prove the truth of that. Those words of the hymn writer penned, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood can never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And as we are spared, Lord, this evening on mercy's ground, the world has not come to an end. There is testimony that thy blood must yet go forth amongst the nations of the earth. There is yet a remnant still to be gathered in. So, Lord, we come pleading, oh, there might yet be room in thy house for us this evening, that, Lord, we might prove the efficacy of that blood sprinkled upon our hearts. Oh, that we might prove his everlasting power this evening. We see, Lord, that those who have gathered that feel themselves to be among the maimed and the halt, oh, they may prove his healing efficacy. That those that have come, O Lord, feeling so blind, that thou wouldst be opening the blind eyes and unstopping the deaf ears. And, O Lord, though we are but poor man, by thy Spirit, oh, may we prove that it is the Spirit's work this evening and not man's, that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. We seek, Lord, that we might thus know here this evening the blessings of thy everlasting gospel. Oh, thou wouldst be making thyself known unto us in thy word, that thou wouldst be opening our hearts, Lord, by thy Spirit to receive of thy word. Oh, that we might have thy desire, O Lord, to hear of thee. And we seek, could it be thy good pleasure, that nothing, O Lord, may hinder thy work this evening. We plead thou wouldst come, O Lord, above our natural frailties, that thou wouldst come, O Lord, above our tiredness, that thou wouldst grant that even at this evening time of the day, that thou wouldst be strengthening us. Oh, strengthen us with that desire, that we may hear the word of life. We plead, Lord, that the poor utterances of the man in the pulpit may not hinder thy work this evening. But, O Lord, that thy word may have free course according to the powerful working of thy Spirit, and there might be signs following the preaching of the word. We seek, Lord, that thou wouldst thus be receiving us as sinners this evening. Oh, what can we bring thee for? But we have to come and confess that our very best is died with sin, our all is nothing worth. But, O Lord, we would come. Though it may be tremblingly, yet may we prove it to be an all-prevailing plea, pleading for the name and for the blood of thine own dear Son, for his sake alone. Oh, thou wouldst be, O Lord, granting us thy presence this evening, that thou wouldst be blessing us out of Zion, that thou wouldst be sending forth thy light and thy truth, that they may lead us, that they may bring us thy holy hill. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst be helping us to worship thee. O Lord, we know that left to ourselves we will not worship thee, we cannot worship thee. They that worship thee must worship thee in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we plead thou wouldst be coming to our aid. Oh, thou wouldst grant us, as it were, but a grain of real worship this evening. That thou wouldst grant us but a grain of real faith. Oh, that we might be found, O Lord, fleeing unto that one who said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto thee. Lord, we plead that we might prove that drawing influence. Oh, that we may prove the efficacious power of thy death and of thy resurrection. And that we may prove, O Lord, that nothing can hold us down, Nothing can hold us back, but when thou dost speak, or when thou dost send forth thy light, nothing can hinder thy work of grace, for thou hast said, I shall work, and who shall let it? Lord, we plead thou wast us blessed, assembled in thy name this evening. Do, O Lord, grant that hearing ear, do grant that door of utterance. We plead thou wast, that thou mightest give the word, or thou wast open it in our own hearts, that thou wouldst pour into the empty vessel, that there might be that pouring out. We plead that thou wouldst be preparing hearts even now to receive the word, ploughing up the fallow ground, that the seed may fall on that good ground, that it might bring forth fruit, fruit unto eternal life. We would, Lord, again commit each one that's gathered into thy hands. We plead that thou who knowest them are better than they know themselves, and certainly better than we know them, that thou who seest all our cares and concerns and all the burdens that we carry around, even on this thy day, oh, we plead that thou wouldst be blessing the means of grace unto us this evening, that thou wouldst be strengthening us in life journey, that thou wouldst be making thyself unto us this evening our all in all, the beginning and the ending of our religion. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst remember those unable to gather with us this evening. Remember especially those detained with family. We seek thou wouldst, O Lord, be visiting them, that where thy people may prove that wherever they seek thee thou art found, when every place is hallowed ground. We plead, could it be thy good pleasure that thou wouldst yet remember in thy mercy those who mayest have gone out from these courts and not returned into them, those that have no desire, O Lord, to be found gathered in here, though they know the truth is preached here, and those, Lord, that are solemnly ignorant in our day and generation, many as it were, without the gospel. Lord, we plead, could it be thy good pleasure that thy gospel, the gospel's mighty sound, may yet be going forth in our day and generation. And oh, could it be thy good pleasure that thou wouldst be returning to work in the midst of Zion, that thou wouldst yet be drawing sinners unto thee. Oh, thou wouldst be building up Zion again, that thou wouldst be getting unto thyself the honour and the glory due unto thy most holy name. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst thus be remembering each one of thy people. Remember thy people gathered together this evening across the face of this earth. Lord, we may be separated by denominations, we may be separated by time and by geography, but oh, we plead this evening, Lord, that wherever thy people are gathered together, there might be a little entry into the communion of the saints, that we might spare a moment to reflect on the fact this is a day thou set aside for thy worship across the face of this earth. And Lord, how many prayers are sent unto thee this day? We know not, O Lord, we're apt to judge thee according to our little surroundings. But Lord, where thou art pleased to work this day in other countries, in other parts of this world, we plead, Lord, that mighty blessing might attend thy word. We seek that that blessing may yet return unto our own land and nation. We plead thou wouldst remember thy servants as they preach the gospel this evening. Do remember them as they might labour in much weakness, especially those that are aged. We seek that they might be exercising Zion, that thou wouldst send forth yet more labourers into thy vineyard to preach the everlasting gospel of thy grace. We plead that thou wouldst be yet raising up more office bearers in thy church. Thou wouldst be raising up yet more mothers in Israel. Oh, that thou wouldst, O Lord, be indeed returning unto Zion. But Lord, we know that thou didst give thy promises unto the people of old, and thou didst say, according to those promises, that I will yet be inquired of for the house of Israel to do this for them. We read also that as soon as Zion travelled, she brought forth. Oh, Lord, do grant that exercise within our own hearts. Grant thou us prayerful spirit. Oh, there might be that inquiring after thee even for these blessings amongst us truly this evening. Lord, how we have to confess, oh, though we would desire in our right mind to enter into the psalmist's desire, that his right hand should forget its cunning sooner than that he should forget Zion. But, ah, Lord, we have to confess during the week, left to ourselves. Oh, Lord, how forgetful we become of thy cause. But we plead, Lord, that thy work may go on. Oh, thou wouldst be granting us that exercise over it. We seek, Lord, that thou wouldst thus be blessing us this evening with that care and concern over one another. Oh, that we might prove that being made one in Christ. Oh, that prayer, O Lord, may of thy own dear Son may yet be answered in our midst. That we might know that bringing together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst be hastening thy work in each one of us individually. Oh, thou wouldst, O Lord, be preparing us for our end. We seek that thou wouldst be causing us to realise the solemn passage of time, that we are but here as strangers and pilgrims. Could press, O Lord, home upon our minds this day that there is but one thing needful. We plead that none may be left out of the promise that are found gathered here this evening. O Lord, we seek that thou wouldst be causing us to number our days, that we may be found applying our hearts unto wisdom. And O Lord, thou wouldst be preparing us for our end. Do help us, O Lord, to stand in our lot to the end of our days. O, to be speaking unto us as thou didst speak unto the church of old. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. But Lord, we plead thou wouldst be encouraging thy little ones this evening that are found fearful in Zion's way, by with the truth of the fact that in heaven there is ne'er a vacant throne he hates to put away. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst be thus encouraging thy people to press toward the mark, granting us that desire that we might be found daily growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We come now, Lord, to commit ourselves into thy hands. We plead that thou wouldst come above felt ignorance, felt confusion. Oh, thou wouldst, O Lord, be upholding thy servant. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst give the word. Oh, thou wouldst, O Lord, be pouring in. We see that we might be kept from uttering that which is wrong, from leading, O Lord, thy little ones astray. But may the ministry, O Lord, be made acceptable unto the brethren this evening. May it be confirming, O Lord, unto those that need confirmation. May it be comforting unto those that need comfort. May it be instruction unto those that need instruction in righteousness. And above all else, Lord, though we fear that we can but lisp, O Lord, as we seek to proclaim the glories of the everlasting gospel, and especially those things that touch the matters concerning the King. Nevertheless, Lord, that we might prove this evening, oh, the power is not of man, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and of God alone. So do be pouring out thy Spirit upon us from on high, and may thy wilderness, may the wilderness this evening be made a fruitful field. And Lord, may thy people go on their way, encouraged by thy word, and rejoicing in thee. We would ask this, O Lord, with the forgiveness of our every sin, and plead that thou wouldst keep us now in thy fear, and deliver us from sin in holy things. We'd ask it with the blotting out of our every transgression, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 633. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Nor earth nor hell can it remove, long as he lives, his own he'll love. Hymn 633.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, the words I direct you to this evening by way of a text, you'll find in the 9th Psalm, Psalm number 9, and the first clause of verse 10. Psalm number 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. This psalm, following on from the previous psalm, the 8th psalm, that opens and closes with our note of praise to this name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The psalmist here again, as it were, picks up a song of praise to that name. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. We sometimes, friends, I fear, forget the importance of the name of God and the way in which he has been pleased by his continual revelation of his goodness unto poor dying sinners to declare his name as a means of salvation. We read together how the Lord passed by Moses and proclaimed his name. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. What a name, my friends! Oh, what a name! What a name to sing praises to! Truly, if we know something in personal experience of that name, we will have to be found even this evening as we've entered into the house of God, saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then, friends, when we think of the work of our dear Redeemer, the blessed Son of God, when he was found here upon this earth, we're apt to think of his work, as it were, just in that offering, that one offering that he made for sin, upon Calvary's cross. But oh, what did we read together in that 17th chapter of John, that high priestly prayer of Christ? What did he say? I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. He concluded that prayer by saying, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved them may be in them, that thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The declaration, friends, of this name of God is, as it were, at the centre of the very gospel. It was a gospel that was proclaimed unto Moses even when the law was given. It's a gospel that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came to declare unto sinners. Our Lord had that threefold office that he held in his ministry upon this earth: prophet, priest, and king. We spend a lot of time considering his office, as it were, as priest, offering himself there that one sacrifice for sin, ever living now to make intercession for us before the throne of God. We may think also of his kingly office, he that now has entered into that kingdom. And oh, to the poor saint that's found here below, oh, it is a comfort to them that there is that place prepared in that kingdom to come. But oh, how much do we consider his prophetic office, that which he came to preach, the true preacher of righteousness, to set before sinners the only way of salvation. And part of that prophetic office was, and part of that prophetic office continues to be, the declaration unto poor sinners of the name of God. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Well, as help this evening, I desire first of all to open something that is found in the glories of this name. What is this name? What does this name set forth? And then to notice how this name is made known unto poor sinners. And finally to notice the effect this has in their hearts and lives, as this name is revealed unto them by the Holy Spirit. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Well, what of this name? What do you know of the names of God? Friends, we have in our English language, as it were, a very flat language concerning God. We talk about God. But God revealed himself in the scriptures unto his people of old, using various names, all of which set forth part of his character. It was a continuing revelation. He wasn't always known to his people by the same names. The canon of scripture opens with that name of God, in the beginning God. It's translated in our version as God. The name of God there translated is Elohim. And that was the name that God first made himself known unto his people as. Those Old Testament saints, they knew him first by the name of Elohim. What did that name set before them? Well, it's a name that we cannot fully translate into English. It's a plural noun. And yet it's always expressed with singular verbs. It speaks of plurality in the person of God. It sets before the Lord's people of old. It set before them a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We read that God is love. God is love as that love exists between the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That name of God, as it were, set forth a loving God unto his people, one who created them, one who made them in their own image, one who gave that promise, oh, that first promise, the proto-evangel as it's known, the first gospel. That the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Oh, the word of grace spoken first unto sinners by the voice of this one, Elohim, a loving God. And friends, let us not forget this evening, as we might try to examine some of these names of God, that these characters are unchanging. These characters are unchanging. But you see, friends, we can't, as it were, in words begin to sum up the characters of God. One word, as it were, falls too far short. And it is the same with these names of God. Dear Joseph Hart, penning the hymn, said, God you know is good. God you say is good. 'Tis true. But that's only one aspect of God. But he's pure and holy too. Just and jealous is his ire, burning with vindictive fire. This of old himself declared, Israel trembled when they heard, but the proof of proofs indeed, is he sent his son to bleed. And God, who revealed himself first as Elohim, was pleased in the fullness of time to reveal himself also as Jehovah. And he revealed himself unto Moses as Jehovah, there in the backside of the desert, when he spoke to him out of that burning bush. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, the self-existent God. I was what I was, I will be what I will be. I am what I am. And this was a name, the special name that he said. And thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. The mighty Jehovah. And what does that name, as it were, set forth? It sets forth over against the love of God, his righteousness, his justice. God is holy. He said elsewhere in that prophecy concerning the sending of his own dear Son into the world, and his name shall be the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah said, Kinyu, the Lord our righteousness. These are the two names, as it were, that are set forth in that passage that we read together in Exodus. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. There's the Elohim. There's the God of covenant-keeping love. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But here's Jehovah, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And as this name, friends, is revealed to you, as you're brought to realise your state by nature and you're brought to realise that you're a sinner in the hands of a holy God, the Lord will bring you into some realisation of the perfections of his majesty in his name, the name Jehovah, the I am that I am, the perfect one, the righteous one. But he makes himself known by other names too. He made himself known unto Abraham as the God Almighty, the El Shaddai. What does that set forth? Well, El, the name of God, the mighty God. Shaddai has its root in the same word for breast. We speak of the breast of the consolations of the gospel. And this is what God is, one of the characters of God. He's, as it was, a worthy almighty shedder of forth of goodness. He pours out himself, his goodness, upon poor sinners in the gospel. And God made himself known unto Moses there in the opening verses of the 17th chapter of Genesis. He said unto Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. But what did Moses have to prove? This Almighty pourer forth of blessing, this Almighty store of mercy was about to break, as it were, upon his head. And the Lord said, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And the effect in Abraham's life was he fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. He spoke to him of Christ. He spoke to him of that possession which was to be given him, that holy seed, whereby he should be called the father of the righteous. Oh, has God revealed himself unto you as the Almighty God? Have you had to prove that there are stored up in God for you those bountiful treasures of grace, which at times he's been pleased in your life, as it were, to pour forth, the shedder of those good blessings upon you? Yes, if you've known anything by experience of the opening of the windows of heaven, the pouring out of the blessing, those rare occasions perhaps when the blessing has been so strong that you've had to ask for it to be taken away, then you prove something of the fullness of the mercy and the goodness of God. He's revealed to you a little thing of his name here, the Almighty God. And then, friends, he reveals himself also as the El Elyon, the Most High God. You'll remember that Melchizedek, who met Abraham, was priest of the Most High God. And oh, friends, what does that name set forth? What does that name set forth? Well, it's set forth most clearly in that prophecy of Daniel, where Daniel speaks of the mighty God. Sorry, not Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar speaks of the mighty God. And when Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, he was humbled. He was found driven out and dwelling with the beasts of the field and eating grass. But what was the end of that? What was the effect of it when it was sanctified to Nebuchadnezzar? He says, he lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto them, what doest thou? Oh, what does this set forth? The Most High, the one who holds the entire earth in his hands. The inhabitants there are but as grasshoppers. What do we read? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And friends, poor worms of the earth have to prove that the fullness of the earth is held by the Lord God for them. And in his mercy from time to time, they have to prove that there is nothing too hard for the Lord, but that he holds everything in this earth in his hand. No man can say unto him, what doest thou, nor can stay his hand. And perhaps you've had to prove, friends, that sooner all nature will fail than one of God's promises fail to you. Yes, the Lord has perhaps provided for you in most remarkable ways. As it were, he's gone against everything that you would ever expect to happen. Has he proved unto you in so doing that he holds the whole earth in his hands, that he is the Most High, that he reigns over all? Oh, friends, if you've had anything of this name revealed unto you in experience, Will you not be found this evening putting your trust in him? To whom else can we go? Said Peter. Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And then, friends, we read that he's also the Lord God of Sabaoth, the Lord God of hosts. What does that name set forth? Under that one Sabaoth, the God of hosts, there is that multitude of angels, that mighty army. The ministry today, I do fear, doesn't contain much concerning the ministry of angels. But you only have to look through the scriptures, friends, to find those times that the Lord was pleased to reveal unto his people that he was the Lord God of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. We think of that poor boy with Elisha the prophet. And he said there are many more that were with the enemy than with him. And Elisha prayed, Lord God, open his eyes. And what did he see? Oh, the hosts of heaven, the hosts of angels, sent forth by this God that has all heaven and earth at his command and waits to answer prayer. And friends, this isn't only an Old Testament phenomena, as it were. But we see angels sent forth to minister unto the saints in the New Testament. An angel directed Philip to go down to the eunuch in the desert. Peter was in prison, there between the guards. Oh, an angel came and brought him forth. Paul, about to be shipwrecked. What was the witness that he had to give to the captain the following morning? That during the night one of the Lord's angels had appeared unto him and told him that they should escape safe to land. Jehovah Sabaoth. These are the names by which the Lord, as it were, was pleased to make himself known in the Old Testament. There's two more we would mention. The El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of ages. Have you had to prove him, friends, what the hymn writer said? O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Have you had to prove by experience that this one declares himself to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever? Friends, if you have, can you not enter into what another one says? Depend on him. Thou canst not fail. Why canst thou fail? Because this one is the God of ages. He's dependable, he changes not. Yes, you in your experience may go through various changes. Your love may know that variation. You may have to prove, oh, myself I cannot keep. No, today you may feel, as it were, to be submissive to his will and to be found sitting at his feet. But tomorrow, oh, tomorrow, as we try to speak to you this morning, or like Martha, careful and troubled about many things, cumbered about with much serving. But, oh, the Lord remains faithful. He remains the same. He knows no difference. And friends, if you know anything of this, will you not be found putting your trust in him? Oh, as you have to prove that you cannot keep yourself. No, you're a poor, changeable, fickle creature. No constancy about yourself. Yet this one does not change. And then, friends, when you read in the Old Testament, Lord, in lowercase, is that name Adonai? Husband, master. That's what that word means in the original, quite literally. It could quite easily have been translated in every place where it's translated, Lord, my husband, my master. Have you, friends, have to be brought into the experience of that name? Do you know what it is to be made a willing subject? Oh, to prove that he is a kind and gentle master, that he doesn't lay upon you burdens that are grievous to be borne. No, it's that one that says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We have such a good master, my friends. And he reveals it in his name, in those covenant relationships, that he was pleased to call us servants, to take us as his servants. Have you known by experience what it is to be found as that dear prodigal son returning? Not worthy to be called a son, but thou wouldst take me as a hired servant. But oh, friends, the blessing is this. The father saw him. He went out to meet him. He took the son again as his own son. He would not hear, as it were, of him being a hired servant. And the dear Lord, despite the fact, as it were, that we fell, that we have basely sinned against him, yet he's pleased to take his people, and not only to receive them as servants, but to bring them into that relationship whereby we have to prove the truth of those words, thy maker is thine husband. That's not scripture, friends, that's Ralph Erskine. Thy maker is thy husband. That's the relationship with this God, this holy Jehovah. One who is so holy that the name Jehovah the Jews would not even mention. They would not even use. They left the vowels out when they wrote it down. So holy was that name. And yet he was pleased to reveal it against his holiness. Oh, his love. His covenant relationships. And the fact that he's pleased, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to take sinners, pleased to take his sinful church, to redeem them, and they that they might become his bride. And oh, what relationship he has with his church. Paul sets it forth as the example for husband and wife, that the husband should love his wife as Christ also loved the church. He gave himself for her, gave himself freely. That's how good our husband and our maker is, our friend and our master. Oh, as the Lord revealed himself to you by this name, can you use that name as you're found entered into his courts this day? Oh, friends, may we not, as it were, always be found just entering with that name and calling him Lord and God without realisation of what we call him. But oh, as the Lord has revealed something of this name unto us, may we prove there are those blessed names that he gives us to use. Yes, he is our husband. He is our master. He is our covenant-keeping God. And he remains so, friends, unto this day. But oh, the Lord's people have to prove. This was the revelation of God in the Old Testament. This was the revelation of God in the Old Testament. And the second subject I wanted to come on is how this name is revealed unto us. But it somewhat overlaps with the first, and I trust you'll understand as I seek to start on that head of somewhat of the overlap. I said that the revelation of the name of God is a continual revelation. And you prove it, friends, you can trace it through the Old Testament. Names began to be used for God which had not been used before. It's most clearly set forth in that sixth chapter of Exodus, where Moses is told concerning the name Jehovah, and God spake unto Moses and said unto them, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I was not known unto them. You may think that strange, friends. What does that mean? Did not Abraham, when he was there in the mount, when he took his son up to be sacrificed, and a ram was prepared instead, did he not say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide? Did he not know that name, Jehovah? Yes, friends, he knew that name outwardly. But the Lord wasn't at that time pleased to reveal to his people the meaning of that name. But when he appeared there to Moses and revealed his name, the name of the Lord God, merciful, kind, etc., as we've read together, the Lord's people were brought into a realisation of a little more of the fullness that was found in the person of God. And you can take other names also. The name of the Lord of hosts appears very little, but in the it doesn't appear in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It appears most, friends, in the prophets. Why does it appear then? Israel driven, as it were, to desolation, to desperate places. And the Lord there was pleased to give that further revelation of his character, that he was the Lord God of hosts. Yes, that men may fail. Israel may be brought to nothing. Elijah may have to say that I only am left. Oh, but the Lord was the Lord God of hosts. He had that mighty army. that mighty army under his control. Therefore, as it were, in that extra revelation of himself unto the church, he told them in those desperate situations not to fear. I am the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. But the apostle has a clearer view when he opens that book of the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners appeared unto the people in times past by the prophets. That was that continual revelation that we see through the Old Testament. And what was the sum and substance of that revelation? To set before the church that there was coming that anointed Saviour, the Messiah. And in the fullness of time, when that prophecy was complete, in every jot and tittle it was brought forth in completion. When in the fullness of the time the Lord Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, brought forth and laid in a manger. But what does Paul go on to say in that Hebrews? Times past spake by the prophets, hath in these last times appeared unto us by his own, spoken unto us by his own dear Son. That's that work, friends, which I've tried to say something a little of. Christ, you see, was sent forth as a prophet, a preacher of righteousness, to proclaim unto the Lord's people the name of God, to show something that of God and of the fullness that God had provided for poor sinners. And this, friends, is one of the first ways in which the Lord is pleased to make known his name unto us. He reveals his name unto us in his Son. And how does he reveal himself unto us in his Son? Well, what did he say? What did he say unto Joseph? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Paul in the Philippians said that, wherefore he hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. And what does that name set forth, friends? Oh, the name of Jesus, as it were, above every other name. Every other name. And why is it above every other name? Because it says forth most clearly, God saves. Jesus, Joshua in the Old Testament. Jeev, coming from the Hebrew root God. Shua, the Hebrew for save, salvation, redemption. God saves. That's what the name of Jesus proclaims. And it was given there to a man. It was the name of a man. We tried to speak something this morning of the necessity that our Saviour should be found in flesh like as we are, and should have been brought forth under the law in the same covenant relation to God as we were. And there we see our Saviour brought forth, that babe of Bethlehem laid in the manger, called Jesus. God saves. For he shall save his people from their sins. And the one that bore that name, friends, was very God. Very God. Yes, truly, in the person of Jesus, God saves. And so we see everywhere, as it were, Jesus walked, bearing that name. He was revealing unto people, unto poor sinners, the fullness of this name. The fullness of the name of God. Jehovah saves. But that wasn't the only way, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth the name of God. The final name of God that is revealed unto us in Scripture was revealed unto us in the closing words of our Lord's ministry upon this earth. And what did he say? There in the closing verses of Matthew's Gospel. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The final revelation of God's name to sinners was given in the closing words of our Lord's ministry upon this earth, baptizing them in the name, the singular name, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, of a triune God of love, a God who was pleased in time past to enter into covenant, in the counsels of Jehovah before we were brought forth, to enter into covenant that there should be that salvation made for sinners, that way whereby poor sinners can be reconciled unto God. The Father putting his love upon that people, electing them in his love. The love of God the Father. Giving them unto his Son, the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His willingness to be made under the law, to be brought forth as a man, God-man, that he might save his people from their sins, to suffer, to bleed and to die on their behalf. And then the shedding forth of the Spirit, that he might convince the world of unrighteousness, of judgment to come, and to take the things of Jesus. The Lord spake concerning the sending forth of the Spirit, that when he shall come, he shall lead you in all truth. And the outworking of that is found in the prayer of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, which we read together. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. You see, the Lord Jesus firstly proclaimed the name of God unto poor sinners, that we might find that grounds wherein we might poor sinners might trust. And so, friends, that is the first way whereby God makes his name known unto sinners. He makes them known unto him, unto us in the person of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But then he also makes his name known unto us by the Spirit. Yes, he sent forth the Spirit, poured forth the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You see, God, who in times past, although the Spirit worked in the hearts and lives of his people, but before that Pentecost day, when the Spirit was shed forth, his way of communicating to his church was through the voice and through the words of the prophet. But now, as we read according to that prophecy that you'll find in Joel and Jeremiah, the Spirit shed forth upon us from on high. Our teachers shall no more be removed to the corners, but now each one of us shall have that witness within our own heart. Each one of us shall have that teaching of the Spirit. And all, friends, do you know anything of this teaching? Has he revealed unto you anything of the blessedness of the name of God? Has he shown you, who have to have had to prove no help in self, though you've sought it well? Oh, has he revealed anything of this covenant-keeping God, of a loving God, a God who is so holy that he cannot, as it were, just forgive sin, but sent his own dear Son into the world to die on behalf of sinners? But oh, friends, if he was so willing as it were, to work out that perfect righteousness in giving his only begotten Son, that we might have hope of life, oh, is there not that certainty, that he who has begun the work must complete it? He must be righteous. He cannot be turned out of that way. This is what the Spirit is pleased to reveal unto sinners. What is the means the Spirit uses to reveal it unto us? Firstly, friends, in the reading of the word. Oh, you'll notice in just the readings we read how many times the name of God is mentioned. You read through the scriptures, friends, you'll find it mentioned time and time again. Oh, the Spirit may be opening our eyes to behold those things. Oh, that we might know this name, that we might be found putting our trust in him, the one who bears this name. And then, friends, he's pleased to reveal his name through the foolishness of preaching. I don't feel, friends, we always understand what preaching is. The poor preacher certainly has to prove that preaching is a mystery. At times, the poor preacher's preaching does appear foolishness. Oh, what can a poor man say? But the Lord is pleased to use this means, that the excellency of the power may be not of man, but of God, that he might get unto himself the glory, and unto himself the glory alone, and that no man may glory before him. And then, friends, have you ever thought, oh, we close every service with the benediction. Friends, may we not pass over it quickly? I fear oft times, as I have to announce the benediction at the end of each service, left to ourselves, we enter solemnly into form. It becomes, as it were, words of liturgy. But may we see, friends, as we've read together, that the Father, the Son, gave that great commission. Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When we announce the benediction at the end of every service, what are we declaring? We're declaring the name of God, the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. We're declaring in the shortest possible compass, as it were, the work of God on behalf of sinners, the electing love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in coming so willingly to die. You know the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that though who are rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, communion with his people, revealing unto him the things concerning himself, revealing unto them and teaching them of this name. Oh, that's what we're setting forth, friends, when we announce the benediction, when we ask the blessing of God upon the people. Oh, may your desire be, when you hear the benediction announced, that you may indeed know that blessing within your own heart, that blessing which alone can be given by the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit will be revealing unto you every time you leave the house of God in the announcing of that benediction, something of this name, that as you leave the house of God you might be encouraged, as worship comes to an end, that you might be found putting your trust alone in him. Oh, the Lord, friends, has been pleased to reveal his name unto sinners down through the ages, first by his own mouth, by the words of prophets, by his own dear Son, now by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Well, friends, do you know this name? Well, the way you'll know whether you know this name is the effect that we read of in this verse. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And we've noticed, friends, that there's no uncertainty about it. It is, as it were, as sure as a cause and effect. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And why is the, friends, of that certainty in this fact? Well, because whom the Lord is pleased to reveal his name unto, oh, he will have brought them in the revealing of his name to realise something of their state by nature and how much they need of this one that is revealed unto them who teaches them their name. And so he'll bring them to that place where they desire to know none other than this name. That's why, friends, the certainty expressed here. And if you've known anything of this name this evening, you will also have to know something of putting your trust in him. Well, friends, why will you put your trust in him? Because as the Holy Spirit reveals this God unto you, as he reveals the person and work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, equally joined, as it were, in the salvation of your soul, you'll be brought to see such a beauty in the salvation that this God has provided. You'll be brought to see that he is one that's so opposed, so different to the changeableness that you prove within your own self. Oh, fickleness is foreign unto this one. You'll have to prove when all around my soul gives way. This one alone is that rock that shall not move. This one alone shall stand true. Why? Because he's revealed himself unto you as God. Jehovah, I am that I am. He sits on no precarious throne nor borrows leave to be. No, he is because he is. And he was pleased to go forth in that work, sending his own Son into the world, calling his name Jesus, setting forth the truth of the fact that in him and in him alone is salvation found. But oh, the surety and the certainty of that salvation that has been provided by this one. God saves. He must save. He cannot not save. Oh, friends, are you found this evening in Swadesley Chapel in need of that salvation? Have you come up this evening being found burdened with sin? Have you had to prove, as it were, that your heart is kept down in the worship of God's house because sin hangs heavy on my soul? But oh, does his name mean anything to you this evening? Does the name of Jesus make your heart leap? Do you have to say with one how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Why, friends? Why? Because of the one whom this name sets forth. You see, friends, the name itself is just but a bare word, just a bare name. But oh, it's because it describes something of the person that bears it. It's because it opens up to you something of this one. This one who has been pleased to remember poor sinners and pleased to make that way whereby sins can be forgiven and whereby they can be reconciled unto God. And oh, as faith is granted by the Spirit to see something of that one, you'll have to stretch forth your hand, your little hand as it were, and lay it upon that head. To plead that, that you, as it were, might bear his name. What do we read of Ruth? That she'd, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And oh, friends, if you're one of the Lord's people, you desire to have this name written upon your heart. Your desire as a bride, marrying her bridegroom. Desires that she might have her husband's name that she might take her husband's name. That it might prove, as it were, that relationship that cannot be broken. That it might set forth that love of the husband unto her, that he is willing that she should bear that name. Oh, friends, this is where poor sinners have to come to. They have to come as one that said in the hymn that thou wouldst write that new blessed name of love upon our hearts. Yes, you desire, as it were, to take the name of Christ upon you, given unto you by him, as he takes you into that union with himself. The name Christian, friends, has been very much abused. But oh, what a precious name it is. What a precious name it is unto the Lord's people. Why? Because it's their name, as it were, set upon them. His name, as it were, set upon them. It speaks something of that which is set forth in our text. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Well, friends, what can we say of these things? Is it not summed up more fully in that text that we read in Proverbs, that the name of the Lord is as a strong tower, the righteous runneth unto it and are safe? Yes, this name, as it were, is such a name that it is that shadow of the Almighty, that resting place. There's no other place, friends, whereby poor sinners can find rest for the sole of their feet. But knowing Christ has provided that rest, God has provided that rest. In that revelation of Jesus, that salvation that God has prepared for sinners, that place where they might settle down upon, the name of God. Well, friends, those of you that might be tossed about the sea, those of you that might have many fears, to whom else can you look this evening? If you've known anything of this name, oh, you'll have to return to it time and time again. We get into some very low places as we're found forgetful of this name, as we're found forgetful of our Lord and Master. Did the hymn writer not say, lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and soon we fall a prey? And that's what happens unto us when we forget this name. Oh, but the Lord is pleased, though we're forgetful. Though we're forgetful, the Lord is pleased to return unto his people time and time again and to reveal his name again unto them, that they might be encouraged, that they might be found trusting again in him, that they might renew their strength. Mount up as wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And all friends, this name is also given unto the Lord's people as that all-prevailing plea. This is the name the Father loves to hear his people plead, and all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, if you're found this evening, as it were, feeling to be on quicksand, feeling to have no resting place, oh, friends, call upon this name. Call upon this name. Plead this name. Plead this name. The Father will not despise the pleading of that name. No, you will have to prove the blessings that are stored in this name. And you will have to be brought back by his Spirit to be found putting your trust in him. Well, friends, what can we say? Oh, we feel to come so far short of setting forth what is in God, as it were, for sinners. His mercy and his love, long-suffering, slow to anger. We may have names that may have, as it were, very little meaning. Names in time past did mean more than what they mean today. But oh, as we read together the words that were required by the Lord to declare something of his name unto Moses. Oh, that long description of what his name meant. That he was merciful, long-suffering, slow to anger. Will not always chide. Will have mercy upon generation and unto generation. Yes, friends, if you've known anything of this name, there's hope also for your children's generation. That's part of the promise that's born up within this name. Oh, what can a poor man this evening say, as it were, to set forth this name? But oh, friends, if you've known anything of the Spirit revealing this name unto you, you'll have to come in with dear Joseph's heart when he said, this God is a God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Oh, friends, if you know nothing of this name, may it be your exercise that you may have this name revealed unto you. And those of you that know anything of this name, oh, may you have found something this evening that renews this name unto you. And that you might find this effect within your heart, a renewing of that trust, a renewing of that faith, a settling down to rest upon the name of God, as revealed in the person of his own dear Son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £737.05, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr Fred Ince next Lord's Day, and he will, God willing, address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn number 10. 'Twas with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced, before he made the worlds above, or earth on her huge columns placed. Hymn number 10.
Lord, we'd ask thy forgiveness of all that's been uttered amiss in the worship of thine house. Own and bless that which is according to thy truth. Part us now with thy blessing, take us to our homes in peace and safety. Grant us thy abiding presence and watch between us while separated one from the other. We'd ask for the forgiveness of every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.